see you all. Can I get you to grab your hymnals and turn to hymn number 260? Hymn number 260, He is Able to Deliver Thee. Hymn number 260, and when you found it, can I get you to stand, please? Service, Lord. I just pray that you bless this service, and in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Can I get you to turn now to hymn number 147? Hymn number 147, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Hymn number 147. Final hymn before the Bible reading, can I get you to turn to hymn number 27? Hymn number 27, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
to grab your Bibles now and turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, and Brother Christian's coming up for the Bible reading.
Proverbs 18. Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and has done high war in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent gettheth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentious to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Dear Lord, please help everyone to learn something from the sermon, and please fill my dad with the Holy Ghost, and everyone to be safe on their way home. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Proverbs 18, verse number 22 reads, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." You see, in order to get married, you have to go out and find. Okay, if you're going to go find a wife, the emphasis, of course, is on the man there, going out and finding a wife. And finding a wife is a good thing. Obtain a favor of the Lord. It's a blessing to get married. Hey, but before you get married, of course, there's the dating process. There's a time to get to know one another before you make that final decision whether you're going to marry this individual or not. The title for the sermon this afternoon is Finding a Spouse. Finding a Spouse. And it's probably going to be a bit of a mini-series, maybe a three-parter, maybe a four-parter. I haven't fully decided. But I've been wanting to preach on dating. I've been wanting to preach for finding a spouse for some time. I originally thought of preaching it probably the start of the year when we came back from Sydney, and then I kind of thought about making it a series during youth group. Then I thought maybe it's better off not just to have it with the youth, but also the everyone involved and parents included as well, so they can understand what the Bible teaches as far as biblical principles on dating. And I think it's something important that we do need to speak about at some point, because our young people are teenage, coming into that teenage year, coming to that time where, you know, they're kind of considering marriage. You know, sometimes even my youngest girls, I say to them, "Hey, you're not allowed to get married. You're going to stay with dad forever." They're like, "Oh, dad, we want to get married." And then they're so little, they're so young. It's like, okay, well, you know what? That's fine. That's a proper process of things. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. But we need to understand just a few concepts, a few principles that will help us as our young people begin dating and looking for someone. Now, this first sermon in this series is just an introduction. I'm not really going to talk too much about some of the principles of dating, but I do want to just build a foundation. I do want to have an introduction, so that way the rest of the series kind of just borrows off what we've learned in this sermon. If you can please turn with me to Matthew 19. Come with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 10, finding a spouse is the title for the sermon. And of course, this is one of those challenging parts of life. It's a huge decision. You know, when you begin dating and you know, the world has a concept of what it is to date. The world has a concept of what it is to find the opposite sex. And of course, from the world's perspective, it's all about having fun. It's all about enjoying, giving into the lust of the flesh. And generally speaking, the world does not think of finding a spouse or dating in terms of getting married. You know, the first thing that I want to draw to your attention is the purpose of dating is to get married. That's the purpose of it. Like, if you start to date someone, right, you're going out with someone and you're like, I can never get married to this person. What are you doing dating them? You're wasting your time. You know, you're wasting your time, your emotions that aren't going to go anywhere. You know, if the opposite person has shown themselves not to be spouse material, why are you spending time doing this? The only other thing that you could possibly be chasing, of course, if it's not to get married, is just a physical relationship, which the world is teaching. That's what the world wants. Try before you buy. You know, give in to those temptations. That is not the right way. You know, God has warned us against fornication. And dating is so important because it is so easy to give into the lusts of the flesh. But in Matthew 19, verse number 10, before we talk about dating specifically, there are some people that will never get married. Okay? There are some people that God's intention is to never get married. Okay? So I want to look at these individuals to begin with. In Matthew 19 and verse number 10, Matthew 19, verse number 10, it says his disciples, and of course Jesus Christ has finished in this, you can look in your own time, but Jesus Christ has finished teaching that there is no grounds for divorce, okay? And then his disciples say to him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Now look, if Jesus Christ is saying there's no grounds for divorce, it's death do us part, then isn't dating such an important part of life? If the purpose of dating is to get married, then I better make sure this is someone that I can live with for the rest of my life. And that's very hard. So the disciples are like, well, maybe it's better not to get married then, because that's a huge decision to make. How can I be sure that I want to be with this person for the rest of my life? There's no grounds for divorce in the eyes of Christ in the Bible. But then he says these words in verse number 11. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. What saying? The saying that it is not good to marry. He goes, not all men can receive this saying. Meaning, there are some men, there are some people that can receive this saying. I want you to understand that. There are some people that can receive the saying that it is good not to marry. But these are exceptions to the rule. Okay? And Jesus Christ starts to teach us about these exceptions. It says, all men cannot receive this saying, save or except they to whom it is given. You see, Christ, the Lord, has given to some this desire to never get married. They have no desire to be with the opposite sex. No desire, okay? That they've never, you know, as the Bible tells us for men not to look upon a woman with lust in their heart. Now, these are individuals that just do not have that desire within them. They've never looked at the opposite sex and desired to be with them. This is a hard saying, but it is a saying to whom it is given. There are some individuals that God has set apart for the purpose of never getting married. And then Christ expands on this in verse number 12. For there are some eunuchs, and that's what this person is a eunuch. There are some eunuchs, which were so born from their mother's womb. A eunuch is someone that cannot procreate. Okay, a eunuch is someone that cannot have children in a physical sense in that way. It says here, Jesus Christ is just explaining a principle. He says, there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. Some people are born with deformities, and they'll never have children. Okay, that's just a medical scenario that can take place. We all have genetic defects. I'm sure all of us, we all have some genetic defects. Everyone does. Okay, for some people, they cannot procreate. Okay, and therefore, they're a eunuch. They're born that way from their mother's womb. Then it says, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. Now, this is the worst part. This is, of course, you read about this stuff in the times of the Bible, where one kingdom will take over another kingdom, and they'll take the best men for themselves. Maybe, like we see this when Babylon took over Judah. They took the wisest. They took the princes. They took the young men who were of most intelligence, okay? And they made them into eunuchs. In other words, they took a knife and cut it off. Without getting into too grudge graphics. And now that individual, hey, they can serve the empire, but they can't get married. They can't procreate. Okay, and so they made eunuchs of men. Now, Jesus is not teaching, that's okay. He's not saying that's fine. No, that's very wicked to do such a thing. Okay, he's just saying this is a reality of life. This is what happens in the world. There are some eunuchs that are born this way. There are some eunuchs that have had it cut off because of a conquering nation. Okay, and they can't procreate. But then he says this. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So this person says, I'm never getting married. I have no desire to get married. I have no desire for the opposite sex. Okay, I have no desire with any intimacy, that physical intimacy. I have no desire for anything like that. But my desire is toward the kingdom of heaven. You see, which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. But then Jesus Christ says these words. Again, this is an exception. He says, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Okay? And I wanted to cover this first. Because I don't know. I don't know what God has allowed for certain people. I don't know what certain abilities people have. According to Christ, there are some that just do not have this desire to be with the opposite sex. They have no desire to get married. No desire to have children. This person may very well be a eunuch. If he is able to receive it, meaning the vast majority are not able to receive it. The vast majority want to be with someone. The vast majority want to get married. The vast majority of people want to procreate. But there are some eunuchs, for the kingdom of heaven's sakes, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. And so, of course, this person, instead of being tied, and I say tied down, being tied down is not a bad thing. Okay, but instead of being tied down with a wife or tied down with a husband and children, family, that takes up a lot of time, this individual says, I'd rather just be tied down completely by the kingdom of God. I want my ability to be wholly for God's purpose. Okay? I want to give myself completely to the work of God, and I don't want to get distracted with family, etc., etc., etc. There are some people that can receive this. This is something unique. But the vast majority of people are not this way. Okay? And so I wanted to cover this because, I don't know, maybe there is someone in our church that is like that. And so when I teach on dating and getting married and all this stuff, I don't want that person necessarily to feel horrible or they're unusual or weird. Hey, you might be a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake. You know, your whole purpose and heart might be just toward wholly the things of God. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 7. First Corinthians 7:7. Now, one eunuch that we read about, of course, is the most famous Christian in the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Okay? And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, he says, for I would that all men were even as I myself. He goes, man, I wish that everybody was like me. In what way, Paul? He says, but every man have his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Okay, so we'll keep reading, but Paul was a eunuch. Paul never had a wife. He never got married, never had kids. Okay, and he goes, I wish everyone was like me, because then more can be done for the kingdom of God. Okay, but then he goes, well, you know, every man have his proper gift. What he's saying is, this is a gift that was being given to me. Remember, that's what Christ said, pretty much, right? He says, all men cannot receive the same, save they to whom it is given. It is a gift. God gives the ability to certain individuals to have no desire for marriage, procreation, etc. Okay? And he goes, look, I have that gift, but everyone has their own gift. Okay? One after this manner, one after that. And then he says in verse number 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, okay, so if you're a single person or you're a widow, it says, it is good for them that they abide even as I. And maybe, he goes, maybe you don't need to get remarried, like me. Like, you know, I'm single. Maybe it's fine to stay that way, right? Then he says, verse number 9, he says, but if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. You see, some people will burn for the opposite sex. Some people will burn for that have that desire for physical intimacy. It's better to get married than to burn. You see, if you're someone that does desire that physical intimacy, you haven't been given that gift to be a eunuch. You know, to remain single and just give yourself over completely to the kingdom of God. Okay? So you've got to figure that out yourself. Well, you know, and again, this is a rare scenario. Very rare, you know, for someone to not desire that. Okay? And look, it's not this. It's not that, oh, I can't find a wife. Therefore, maybe I'm a eunuch. Okay? So, you know, I don't have to be tied down with a family. Therefore, I can do whatever I want. No. The eunuch has a desire for the kingdom of God. You need to understand. Okay? Their desire, their heart is driven completely to the work of God. So that person, you know, normally a man would go to work and provide for his family. Well, the eunuch would go to work to provide for his ability to go and do more for God, to go out preaching the gospel and using more of his time to be productive for the things of God. That's what the eunuch will be doing. He won't just be living his single life. Oh, maybe I'm a eunuch. No, you'll be giving all your heart and attention, just like a married man is to give all his heart and attention to his wife and family. The eunuch will be giving all his heart and attention to the kingdom of God. So I just want to take that out there, because I don't know, who knows, maybe one of our young people is a eunuch. And there should be no shame in that if God has given them that proper gift. If they've decided, I'm going to dedicate myself wholly to the things of God, that's fine. Okay? But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Paul understands the majority are wanting to get married. Okay, we need new generations. We're not going to be here forever. We need children that will grow up in church, children that will get saved, children that then will preach the gospel to the next generation, etc., etc. We understand that is a necessity of life. God has created us primarily to get married, but this is a rare scenario. So, how do I know if I'm a eunuch? Number one, are you able to receive it? Number two, have you been gifted to not burn, to have no desire for the opposite sex, and just to have your heart fully in the things of God? If you say to me, Pastor, that's not me. All right, then this sermon's for you. The rest of the sermon's for you. Okay? We're looking at finding a spouse. It's so important. Such an important part of life. You're going to be with this person for the rest of your life. You should be anyway, till death do us part. You made those vows, you made the promise. You fell in love with that person. It's so sad when people fall out of love. It's not so much they fall out of love, it's just they forget what they loved. That's what happens many times. And I don't know, I'm happily married. Is it sunshine and rainbows every single day of the week? No, but I'm happily married. There are great times, there are bad times, there are sad times, there's everything in marriage, right? You know, serving God's kingdom, think about the eunuch. If he says, I'm going to dedicate my whole life, is that eunuch going to face persecution? Is he going to get people hating him? Is he going to deal with conflicts and arguments? Of course. Okay? The life of a eunuch is not an easy one either. You're going to be fully persecuted for giving yourself wholly to the things of God. Listen, when you go and decide, well, then I'm going to get married. Well, there's hardship in life. There's hardship in all aspects of life. But you know what? That's what makes it rewarding. When you're able to go through the hardships and get through it on the other side, together, still in love with your spouse or for the eunuch, still in love for the kingdom of God's sake. You're there in 1 Corinthians. Come with me. Oh, you're still in chapter 7, so just come up to verse number 1. Verse number 1. Now, we're talking about not burning, okay? Not having, you know, if you have a desire. Look, there's nothing wrong with having a desire of the opposite sex. Please understand that. It's normal, okay? And if that's your desire, then you should be thinking about marriage. And in order to get married, you need to be thinking about dating. Who am I going to select? How am I going to make this happen, right? It's not an easy thing. You know, you kind of have to put yourself out there, right? I mean, if you are looking for work, you need to apply for work, you need to give in a resume, you need to do an interview. That's not easy. It's a little bit, right? You're stepping out of your comfort zone. Well, dating's the same thing. Oh, I'm kind of interested in this person. You've got to step out of your comfort zone. You've got to go find your wife. You've got to do something about it. It's not just going to happen. You're not just going to sit there on your Xbox and God's going to send you a wife at the front door. Okay, you've got to get up and get off the Xbox and find a wife instead. Or the PlayStation or whatever you're playing. Okay, you've got to go and do something about it. It's not just going to happen. Just like a job. You know, you're not going to just sit on the couch and there, you know, you're going to have, what's a big company here? Ewe Insurance. You're not going to have the director of your insurance come in the front door and say, hey, do you want a job? No, you've got to go out there. You've got to go apply. You've got to go do the interview. And you've got to put your best foot forward. Present yourself as best as you can. It's the same thing with finding a wife, finding a spouse. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote of me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Fornication is sex before marriage. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. You notice that says every. Let every man, again, the majority, the vast majority of people, everybody, you know, should be looking for that opportunity to find a wife, to find a spouse. Okay? Let every woman have her own husband. It's to avoid fornication. And again, this is the difference with the world's method of dating. Listen, the world's form of dating is for fornication. I want you to understand. Okay, it's not just to get to know someone and spend some time together and enjoy each other's company. What the world is seeking is sexual intimacy, fornication before marriage. Try before you buy, right? Before I get tied down. No, that's wicked. Okay? And look, we should not be, as it were, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. You've got to be careful. Okay? And here's the very first thing I want you to understand with Christian dating. If the opposite sex that you're dating with there just wants to put their hands all over you, they're not interested in the marriage. They're interested in the fornication. Okay, let that be just something in your mind that you understand. Okay? And look, it doesn't necessarily mean they're just this wicked, horrible person. All of us have been brainwashed by the world. And so we need the washing of God's word to take all of those bad thoughts away from us and understand the purpose of dating. It's to get married. And in marriage, to have that physical intimacy. Okay, that's the difference. Dating is good. You know, I encourage young people, you know, when you get to that certain age, and we'll talk about when that certain age is probably later in the series. But I encourage you, go and find. Step out. Get out of the comfort zone. Do some searching. There are many ways that this can be done. Do something. But to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. Okay? You know, I'll give you my personal story. Remember, these are my opinions. These are my thoughts. This is how I did things. You don't have to do things exactly the same. But I think it's good. Okay? I don't even know where I got this from. Because even in my teenage years, I was still pretty worldly. I was saved, but I was pretty worldly, honestly. I didn't really get on fire for the Lord until I got into my first IFB church, got baptized, and started to just walk with the Lord. But I guess this is my mum. Maybe my mum, because my mum would always teach me, Kevin, make sure when you get married or you start dating, you date a Christian girl. She's always saying that. Kevin, don't drink alcohol. My auntie was an alcoholic and she destroyed her life, and don't touch alcohol. Probably my mum's influence, right? But I knew, and this, you know, when I started dating, I just knew I have to decide quickly if I'm going to marry this person or not. And if I cannot marry this person, then I need to break off this. And when I say break it off, if you do it early, there's no hurt feelings. Because I would go to school. You know, even primary school, this is my girlfriend. You're like 8 years old. Right? This is my girlfriend. This is my boyfriend. And then I'm like, I haven't got a girlfriend. What's wrong with me? Am I going to get married at 7 years old? There's nothing wrong with me at 7 years old not having a girlfriend. But the world puts this pressure on you, right? It's like, oh, what's wrong with you? Well, hey, maybe I'm unique. Well, I'm not, but you know. You haven't even given me the time to process this information, you know? It's like this pressure. Why? What's going to happen at 7 years old, 8 years old? Or you can have your first kiss. It's good for a man not to touch a woman, the Bible says. That first kiss can lead to anything. And you know what? We live in a world of wicked predators. They're trying to sexualize our children as early as possible to take advantage of them. Be careful. Be careful. There are so many sexual predators out there. What was I saying? Oh yeah, what did I do? I just knew. Okay, I have to decide quickly. Because I was go to school, this person will be dating this person, you know, for months, and then they break up. And then, that's it. It's like weeping, tears, anger, bitterness. Then this person dates that person dates. You don't even know who to be friends with anymore. It's like, I'm friends. Oh, no, you can't be friends with that person because that person broke up with that person over there. It's like, I don't know. Leave me alone. I just want to be friends with who I want to be friends with. It creates this drama. This strange. I thought you liked each other. I mean, you just spent 6 months together holding hands, and now you can't even face each other, and your friends don't talk to those friends anymore. Like, what in the world? Because you were too young to date. Because you're so stupid, you didn't understand the purpose of dating. Was to get married. Are you going to get married at 12 years old? At 15 years old, are you going to get married? You can damage relationships. Damage friendships. Because it's not being done properly. And so I'm in school watching this stuff happen. And I'm like, I don't want that to happen to me. If I'm interested in a girl, I want to get to know her. And if things don't work out with us, I don't want to be bitter against her or her to be bitter against me. Or for it to be some division or anything like that. And you think this only happens in schools? No. It happens in churches. Oh, he used to date her back when they were 17 years old. And now that family doesn't talk to that family in church because the kids had a fight. Look, church can be like school. Honestly, I've been there. I've seen it. Why? We're meant to be brothers and sisters in the Lord, loving one another, serving one another. Oh, but he broke up with my daughter, or she broke up with him. Well, were they ready to get married? Did they have that in their mindset to begin with? Did you teach your children biblical principles on marriage or not? So before our kids, and who knows, maybe there are young people in this church that will get married one day. Probably some of the kids right now are like, nah, I see him as my brother. I see him as my sister. You don't know. Get older. Okay. You don't know. You don't have to marry someone at church. Okay. But you don't know. Could happen. So we don't want to create divisions and conflicts and we can't talk to this person because he used to date her. Or I do like her, but I don't want to date her because my friend dated her and they broke up and it'd be weird if I date her now. You don't want that kind of environment. So I just said to myself, okay, I don't want to face this. Therefore, my rule on dating is this. I'm going to go out once, maybe twice, with somebody. Before we get emotionally involved, before we get physically involved, I'm going to go out once and twice, and then I'm going to decide, is this someone that I can marry? And that'll save all the problems. And guess what? And again, this is from the book of Pastor Kevin Sepulveda, okay? This is not the Bible. If you want to do things slightly different, that's fine. But I think it's good. So then I decided, okay, you know what? I can't marry this person for whatever reason. I just don't think it's going to work out for us. All right. And I say, look, thank you for the date. It was great to know you. But, you know, I don't think it's really going to work out. But, you know, I hope all the best for you. There's no emotions. There's no real drama. There's respect. Appreciate the couple of times we went out. But, you know, it's hope you find the right person for you. No hurt, no pain, no weeping. And then I'm free to look again. And that's how I did things. Because I never wanted to touch a woman. Okay? I never wanted to get to a point where now I'm being... Because these feelings are natural. The feelings of burning, the desire to be with someone else are natural things. I never want to get so close where now I'm doing things that should only be done in marriage. Once or twice. And I'm saying maybe 5 times for you. I don't know. But you need to understand the longer that relationship goes, the deeper the emotions become. And when it breaks up, the more damage it causes. So make a decision quickly. Ask your parents. What do you think, Mum? What do you think about this individual, Dad? What's your opinion? Ask for them. They've had experience. They've got good wisdom. Your parents love you. Your parents love you more than anyone else in this church loves you. Your parents love you more than this pastor loves you. Okay, talk to your parents. Ask for the opinion on the person that you're interested in. When I went out with Christina the first time, I went to my friends and I said, you know what, I'm going to marry her. And she wasn't even saved yet, so I was a bit foolish. But I got her saved and then I married her. But I made a decision very quickly. Yes, I'm going to marry her. Or at least I believe this can lead to marriage. I believe this can work. after one date. And again, maybe need longer than that. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit foolish, a bit young, you know, a bit ignorant at my age. I don't know. But I want you to understand my heart. My heart was not to break people's hearts or have my heart broken or have my mom get attached to some girl that I'm dating and then we break up and then it affects my parents in a negative way because they were hopeful for that individual person. So you've got to be careful with dating because it can really hurt a lot of people if it's not done properly. Can you come with me to 1 Corinthians? You're already in 1 Corinthians. Come to chapter number 5, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. Here's the thing. The more you date, the longer you go dating without dealing with marriage. Okay, you're going to burn in lust. You're going to burn in desire. Okay, and again, it's very normal to want that physical intimacy. So before that physical intimacy should come what? Marriage. They say, we're not ready to get married. Well, you're now treading very dangerous grounds. Because that desire, that physical intimacy is going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And you may very well commit fornication. And here's the thing. And you know, we have a lot of young people in our church. The Bible tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. If there's a brother or sister in this church that is a fornicator, we are not to fellowship with you. That's what the Bible says. This is not my opinion. These are not my rules. This is what God says. Verse number 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, look at this, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You know, if our young people, in fact, not just young people, even adults. You know what, if you're out there committing fornication, by the commandment of God, we must take you out of this church and say, you cannot be part of this church. That wicked person, fornication is wickedness. You say, why is that? Earlier in that chapter, it says a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. You know what's going to happen when a young person is committing fornication in church and they get away with it? They're welcome to be in church. Then all the young people are going to be like, you know what? Then I should do that. I should just give in to fornication if there's no consequences. And before you know it, the leaven grows in the church. The sin grows in the church, affects the whole congregation. Young people, be careful of fornication. The desire is not wrong. That burning feeling is not wrong. It's not sinful. God has given it to you. It's a gift. But it's to be applied in marriage. You say, I've got that. I need to find someone now. But you're not ready to get married. You're increasing your chances of fornication. And you give into that sin, then I have no choice but to kick you out of the church. Until you repent of that, get things right, you say sorry, then you can come back to the church. Being kicked out of church is not just to get rid of someone. The purpose of it is that that person will be driven to repent, get things right, and then come back in fellowship in the house of God. Come with me to Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verse number 19. Genesis 25 and verse number 19. Finding a spouse is not easy. It requires effort. Okay? You have to take risks. Just like applying for work, you've got to take risks. You might have to apply for 100 jobs before you get one job. Yeah? You might have to date 100 times before you find the right person. I don't know. You might date once and you find the right person straight away. It's possible, okay? But Genesis 25:19, what I wanted to read here is that never take the attitude that it's too late for me. You've been single your life. The years are going by. You know, you didn't get married when you were 12 years old like you thought you would in high school. And now you're 18. You're like, oh, man, I'm getting too old now. And then you're like 25 and you're like, oh, it's too late for me. I don't think anyone wants me. And then you're like 35. Oh, I don't think, no, definitely not now. Look, you're never too old to get married. Okay. The Bible says here in Genesis 25:19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham's such an important figure in the Bible, isn't he? The father of faith. His son got married at 40 years old, Isaac. That's pretty late in terms of what some people might think what marriage is. Some people at 40 years old would be saying, "Oh, it's too late for me. I don't think this is going to happen. So I give up." No, don't give up. Unless you're the eunuch, unless you can say, "Yes, you know what? It was never for me in the first place. My heart and desires are things of God and things of God only." Fine. But if that's not you, don't give up. God's desire is marriage. It's going to fulfill you. Okay? They twain become one flesh. There is something about marriage that is not just carnal, but spiritual. Okay? God looks down and sees one body, one man, one woman for life. This is God's institution. The very day that He created Adam and Eve, He created marriage. Something special about this union, where they're to complete one another. Men, we're not competing with women. I know the feminist movement wants you to think that men are competing with you, that men have enslaved you, and you've got to rise up against the men. No, we're there to complement one another. We have different roles, different responsibilities. And what brings unity, what brings completion, is finding that spouse. So you want to make the best decision you can. You know, your mindset ought to be once. That's it. I've got to do this once, and it's till death do us part. The only biblical reason for a second time is if you're a widow. If your spouse passes away, okay, then yes, fine. Go for a second round, okay? Go second time dating. But that's the mindset you ought to have, is that dating, not only is marriage a one-time thing, but dating should be a one-time thing. That I do this well once, I find my spouse to be, and then we get married and that's done. The world is so wicked. Think about the music that this world pushes on you. Isn't it all about fornication, sleeping around, breakups, divorce? Always about trying to find your lover. You know, if you obsess over this world's music, it's going to teach you that your life is all about dating. It's all about just sleeping around as much as you want, and even when you get married, why stay married? Why not just go find someone else? That's what the world's music is constantly pumping in the minds of young people here today. And don't think that music's not going to affect you. It will affect you. Be careful of the lyrics of the words that have been said. Be careful of the entertainment that you set your eyes upon. Okay? Because I'm telling you, Hollywood, the music industry, they are seeking not for you to find a biblical spouse. They're seeking for you to sleep around, commit fornication, okay, and to destroy your testimony, contrary to the things of God. Did I get you to turn somewhere? We read Genesis 25. Come with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. I'm getting a bit sidetracked. Sorry, guys. Proverbs chapter 5. I feel like I'm encroaching part 2 and 3 already. All right, back to the introduction, okay? Back to the introduction. Proverbs chapter 5. So it's never too late to get married. But don't have the mindset that I'm just going to wait as long as I have to wait then. No, no, get out there and find a wife. Right, bro? We've got to go out there and do something about it. Okay, we've got to go and start thinking about who it might be that I might get married to one day. There's nothing wrong with our young people in this church looking at someone of the opposite sex in this church going, you know what? I think it might be, I'd like to get married to this person one day. They might make a good spouse material, but perhaps I'm not ready just yet. And they're not just ready just yet. So we'll just abide our time and wait. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? And also, parents, I just want to say another thing. You know what our kids really hate? When you go up to them and say, "Ooh, saw you talking to that girl at church today. Ooh." You know what's going to turn them off? That. Okay. Hey, you see your kid maybe having some interests? Talk to them. Teach them about the Bible. Teach them this is normal. Desire to be with someone else. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe they're not ready. Just be patient. wait, hey, pray for that individual. Pray for your future spouse. You know, before I knew Christina, I would pray for my future wife. I'd say, Lord, whoever she is, please look after her. Please keep her safe. I don't know. I was praying all these things. I never knew Christina, but I was praying for her already. Just who it is. I don't know who it is at that time. But Lord, can you please look after them? You know, can you please help us to meet at the right time? Help us to make the important decisions at the right time? You committed unto the Lord, just like anything else in life. Commit it unto the Lord and say, Lord, at your timing, okay? But hey, we're to wait upon the Lord, okay? And wait doesn't mean sit on the couch and do nothing. You go out, go find, go try, go look, go explore, go soul winning. Maybe your spouse is behind a door on the Sunshine Coast somewhere here, and you got to go and knock those doors and find her or find him. That could be the way it is. There's so many ways to find people. Did I get to turn somewhere? Proverbs 5? Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 15. So even though it's never too late to get married, okay, at the same time, you want to try to get married in your youth, okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 5, 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Look, this is not really about a well. This is not really about a cistern. When it's talking about drink waters out of thy own cistern, running waters out of thy own well, this is talking about your spouse. You know what God is saying here? Find a spouse. Enjoy your spouse's company, her waters, or his waters. Your own cistern, your own well. See, the purpose of dating is to find that person that's going to belong to me. I'm going to belong to them, and they're going to belong to me. And we're together going to belong to the Lord. I'm looking for my own cistern. I'm looking for my own well. Then it says in verse number 16, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Young people, don't waste your time with strangers. Don't waste your time with people that you think, I'm going to date them because I think I need to. I'm old enough now. And I don't want to feel like I'm a reject, so I'm just going to, even though I don't think I'm going to marry them, even though I see no spousal material in that person, I'm just going to date it so I can fit in. They're strangers then. You're wasting your time. Look for your own will. Look for your own cistern. Okay? Let them be only thine own. Verse number 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You see, this wasn't about a well, really. These waters are talking about the romance, you know, the physical affections, the intimacy between husband and wife. And what does Christ say? What does the Lord say? Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So don't try to delay it, is what I'm trying to say. Go out there. Go look. Okay, ask the Lord for guidance. Go soul winning. Okay? Do something in your youth. Don't delay it. But at the same time, you know, as you're going out there and nothing's happening, well, don't panic because it's not too late. Okay? Just keep going. But don't waste your youth. Think that, okay, my youth, the purpose of my youth now is to learn, to get ready for marriage, and therefore I need to find someone that I can share my life with for the rest of my life. And I promise you that'll stop you playing video games. It'll stop making you waste your life on nonsense because you know in your youth that I've got to prepare myself for that special person. How do I prepare myself? What do I need to get married? Mom, Dad, help me. How do I prepare myself? What do I need to do? Of course, for men, go to work. Labor, work hard, save up. Show the person. You know, like if you're going to go on a date, you want to pay for the dinner. You want to show them, hey, I've got money. I can take care of you. Not bling, bling, we're going to buy a Ferrari. But hey, I can provide for you. I'll cover that cost. Don't worry about it. It's on me. What are you? You're already demonstrating. Hey, look, I'm getting ready for that. Or I'm ready for that. I find it strange when young people who aren't even working, they don't have the finances and they're dating. It's like, what? What's going to happen? So preferably, don't delay. you know, use your youth wisely. Come with me to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 14. Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 14. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 14. What ye say, wherefore, because the Lord have been witness against thee, look at this, and the wife of thy youth. I just want to show you that the Bible many times refers to the wife of your youth. You know, the Lord is in favor of young people getting married. Okay? Against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. So anyway, in the time of the, when this is happening, some of the Jews are mistreating their wives. And so God is calling them out for how they're mistreating their wives. Then he says in verse number 15, and did not he make one? Did God not make one? Yet had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? Why did God make one? This is referring to the one flesh. One man, one woman, one flesh. Why did God make one? That he might seek a godly seed. That's godly children. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. See, what's the purpose of getting married? Ultimately, that God would have a godly seed, that you would procreate, that you would have children, that you'd be able to guide your children to the Lord. Salvation, yes, but to walk in the ways of the Lord, that's what God is seeking for. You start dating someone and they say, you know what, I want no kids. I don't want any kids. I just want to enjoy my life. I want to go and travel all across the world and forget kids. Who cares? Are you going to marry them? Are you going to date them? You shouldn't, because God's seeking a godly seed. If they're not going to help you in that process, they're not the right person. These are things that you need to think about. And look, when you start dating, maybe not the first date necessarily, might be a bit awkward. How many kids do you want? But as you get to know them a little bit, you want to know, hey, you know, life is more than just going out, you know, watching hopefully a good movie. All right, life is more than just going out and just having a meal. Life is about spending life together, bringing forth a family, bringing forth children. Are we on the same page? Are we doing what God wants? You know, Christina said to me that the doctors told her that she'll never be able to have kids. And I was like, woohoo! Because I was just an immature idiot. Okay? I did not understand that God was seeking a godly seed. I didn't understand that. I just thought, okay, good. Less expenses, more time for myself. All right? And then, like, God gives you the complete opposite or something. I don't know. God's given us one, then 12. Or 12's on the way. But I'm glad, because it really does give fulfillment. And as a single person, you don't realize it. You just don't understand. And I'm not saying that you're ignorant. It's just, you've got to go through that experience, and then you understand the value of the spouse, the value of the children. You know, just how precious they are. And they are precious. And our kids are getting older, and they're going to start desiring to get married. They're going to desire to go to start dating, so we need to give them guidance. It's such an important part of life. They need to hear what the Bible teaches on this issue. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 3. And look, are you always going to agree with your... Look, I don't agree with Christina on everything in life. Husbands and wives that are here, you don't have to tell me, but I know you can testify that you do not see eye to eye with your spouse about everything in life. You don't. Okay? But sometimes people have the mentality, I've got to find someone, you know, who's just lockstep with me on everything. I'm telling you, there are Christian young people that are like this. You don't believe in the reprobate doctrine? Ah, we can't be together. What are we looking for when we're looking for a spouse? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 9, 3. These are the words of Paul. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat or to drink? Then he says, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Without going into all the context here, he says, look, I've got the power to take care of my needs through the ministry. And I've got the power to lead about a sister or a wife. In other words, what he says is, look, if I'm going to look for a wife, she's got to be a sister. She's got to be a sister in the Lord. She's got to be saved. Young people, when you start dating, and don't take my example, but the right thing is, you look for a believer. Okay, someone that is saved. A sister, a brother in the Lord. Okay? Because, yes, there's the physical things of life that matter, but really at the end of it all, brethren, it's the spiritual things that are going to matter the most in your marriage. It's going to strengthen your marriage. It's going to, you know, strengthen your love toward God if you marry a believer, a sister, a brother. Okay? Paul is not saying, I want to get married. He just says, look, I've got the power. I've got the authority. I should be able to get married and be provided for my family, etc., by the ministry, by the work that I'm doing for the church. That's what he's saying. But, of course, he's a eunuch. He's got no desire for that anyway. Okay? Come with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Look, obviously we have to live a life. We have to deal with society. Of course, we're going to interact with unbelievers all the time. But we've got to be careful how well yoked up we are with people. There's no greater yoke. There's no greater togetherness in life than marriage. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? This is how different you're going to be in marriage if you marry a non-believer. As different as light is from the darkness, that's going to be your marriage. You want to be living that life for the rest of your life? It's not going to be easy for you. Verse number 15, and what concord have Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel is someone that doesn't believe. How can you have unity? Verse number 16, and what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you're saved, young people, talking to you, if you're saved, your body is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You want to give this temple over to an unbeliever? You want to give this temple over to fornication? You want to go disgrace the temple of God? No. You say, you know what? I need to find someone on the same page. I need to find a believer. Okay? I need to find someone that is just like I wants to get married. Whose purpose for dating is not to commit fornication. His purpose is to get married. And my purpose is to get married. And we're ready to get married so we don't have to give in to fornication. Your body is a temple of the Lord. You should not be yoked up with unbelievers. And there's no greater yoke than marriage. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 39. I won't explain this whole verse to you, but just toward the end it says, 1 Corinthians 7:39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. That's basically saying till death do us part, okay? But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married. So it's basically saying, hey, if you're a widow, you have the liberty to get married. To whom she will. Remember we talked this morning about liberty. Whoever you want. But then it says, only in the Lord. So when you're getting married, when you're making a decision, you can choose whoever you like. Only in the Lord. Okay? What God is saying, you have liberty. You want to marry a blonde, you marry a blonde. You want to marry a brunette, you marry a brunette. Okay? You want to marry an Australian, you marry an Australian. You want to marry a Chilean, you marry a Chilean. You want to marry a Filipino, you marry a Filipino. Oh, whatever you want. Only in the Lord. Make sure they're saved. Make sure they're a believer. You know, one of the best things is if you start dating, is to just very first questions. So, you know, are you sure if you're to die today that you'd be going to heaven? Just confirm. Are they saved? Are they not saved? And let's say you go out on your first date and you discover the person you're dating actually believes in works to get saved. They believe in a false gospel. is it a waste of a date? No, you know what? You know what? Well, actually, let me open the Bible. Let me show you just quickly what the Bible says about going to heaven. And if they reject you, they reject the God's word, well, that's not the right person to marry anyway. They might very well be like, oh, wow, thank you. Yes, I trust Christ. All right, wow, that can happen. That's how what happened with me. Took a little time, but eventually, right, gave Christina the gospel, she got saved. Now that burden of dating a non-believer was removed from me. I already desired to marry her, already thought she would be compatible with me. And the rest is up to the Lord. And it happened. I'm not saying, you know, purposely go out there and try to find non-believers. But again, I don't think there's anything wrong with you meeting a non-believer. You know, there might be someone that is receptive to the gospel. And they might like you. And you might like them. And you say, hey, after work, let's go to the cafe, grab a coffee. And one of the first things that should be out of your mouth, if you care for them, is to give them the gospel. They can get saved. And guess what? Now they're in the Lord. Okay? Now they're in the Lord. And even if that doesn't work out, even if you decide, well, they got saved, but you know what? I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think this is someone that I can marry. Well, look, it wasn't a waste of time anyway. You got a salvation. Someone's going to heaven as you went out and tried to find a spouse. So you're free to choose. There's liberty to choose whoever you like. Just make sure they're saved. They have to be saved, okay? And if you marry an unbeliever, look, God can do amazing things, of course, but it's going to make your life very difficult, very hard, okay? And you don't want to be going through that for the rest of your life. Come with me to Genesis 24, and verse number 1. So I was going to teach on this during youth group, but then I thought, no, it's important that parents hear this as well. Okay? And Genesis 24, verse number 1, this is why it's important for parents to hear this. We heard that Abraham's son Isaac was 40 years old when he got married. Okay? But here's the thing. Isaac would have gone longer than 40 years, if not for Abraham, if not for his dad. See, his dad steps in. He probably gets to a point where he's like, you know what? Isaac's not having much success here. So I better step in and try to do something. I better step in and try to help him. It says here in Genesis 24, verse number 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear, or make a promise by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. The daughters of the Canaanites are unbelievers. They worship false gods. So Abraham's saying, look, please, I'm old. You know, you're my elder servant. You know, you know people respect you. You know, you're someone that's on a high position here. Please don't take a wife of these unsaved Canaanites to my son Isaac. Don't take a wife from them, okay? But then he says, verse number 4, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Abraham goes, you know what? Everywhere my son is here in Canaan, they're all unsaved, false God-worshipping people. Can you please go back to my land and find a wife for my son, Isaac? See, sometimes parents, there's nothing, and I say this, I want to say young people, there's nothing wrong with parents getting involved. Nothing wrong with going to mom and dad. Mom, dad, what do you think? And parents, there's nothing wrong with you keeping an eye out. Maybe young people in this church, maybe other young people that you come across. You say, you know what? He or she might be right for my son. Maybe I need to give my son a nudge. Maybe I need to give my daughter a bit of a... Not, ooh! Maybe behind the scenes. Maybe go get a servant or someone that will go and try to get them together. Find a way to get like a, I don't know. People do that, right? Sometimes. There's nothing wrong with that. And children, there's nothing wrong with your parents giving you some direction. This is not arranged marriage. I don't believe in arranged marriage. I don't believe two parents should just agree, all right, your son's going to marry my daughter, and they've got no say in the matter, like what happens in some Asian countries. No, that's not what's happening here, okay? Abraham's just giving Isaac a little nudge, a little support in this area. Drop down to verse number 57. So I won't go into all the story. The servant goes out, finds a young lady, okay? Finds a young lady, finds a wife-to-be, potentially, for Isaac. And then he goes and talks to her family about this. And he wants to just get on with the business. He wants to take her to meet Isaac. And this is what happens in verse number 57. So the family hears about this, about Rebekah, and it says in verse number 57, and they said, so the family of Rebekah, they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. See, they don't go, all right, yep, Rebekah, you're marrying Isaac. They say, you know what? We're going to go and talk to the damsel. We're going to go talk to Rebekah. We're going to see what she has to say. Does she want to get married? Arranged marriage? No. She has liberty. She has a choice. It's her decision. Okay? Verse number 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. You see, it was Rebekah's will to get married to Isaac. It was her decision. Yes, the parents got involved, families get involved, helping things out a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's down to the individual. It was Rebekah's choice whether she wanted to go. And of course, she's brought to Isaac and they get married. Okay? So I wanted to say that because parents, you do have some level of responsibility. Keep an eye out for your kids. You remember when you were young and stupid and careless and immature? Okay, your kids are going through that. They need loving parents to give direction and guidance. And your kids aren't going to appreciate it now, but they'll get older and they'll appreciate it all. Okay? One more passage, please. One more passage. Come with me to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30 and verse number 3. Numbers chapter 30 and verse number 3. Actually, two more passages. Sorry, we're near the end now. Numbers chapter 30, verse number 3. Dads, you need to be involved, especially in your daughter's decisions to get married. Don't forget when people get married, the father hands the daughter's hand over to that young man. Okay? You're handing responsibility from your, as you being head of your daughter, to that man now becoming the head of his wife. Dads, you need to get involved. The Bible says in Numbers 30, verse 3, Numbers 30, verse 3, if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. This can be any promises she makes, but let's take it to the context of marriage here. If she starts dating some young guy, and let's say you find him to be a loser, okay? And she says, Dad, I'm so in love. And he asked me to get married. And you're like, but it doesn't work. He can't provide. He asked me to get married. And I said, yes, I've made a vow. I've made a promise, Dad. And you go, man, this guy's going to destroy your life. I don't trust this one. You know, what are you going to do, Dad? Verse number 4. And her father hear the vow. I've heard it. And her bond, wherewith she have bound her soul. And her father shall hold his peace at her. So the father says nothing contrary to that. You've made the promise, all right. Then all her vows shall stand. And every bond wherewith she have bound her soul shall stand. Okay, so she's committed to a vow. Dads, if you say nothing. Okay? Verse number 5. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth. So if you hear about it, your daughter's accepted a marriage proposal and you don't like that guy. He's not saved. He can't provide. He's a loser. You know he's going to mistreat your daughter because you can see it because of your experience. And you say, you know what? No. I disavow that. You can't marry that man. Okay? But if your father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she have bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. Dads, you need to be involved, especially in your daughter's decisions, who she's going to get together with. You have something to say. Say, Dad, this young boy asked me out. And you say, oh, okay. Well, you can't say anything now. She's made a promise that she'll go out, she'll start dating this young man. But when you hear about it, you say, you know what? This is not right. He's not ready. He can't provide. This can lead to fornication. Then, Dads, you have the right to step in and break that. And you might say, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with that young man now, but he's not ready. Why don't you just wait 3 more years? Why don't you just wait 5 more years? Why don't we just wait for this young man to prove that he's ready to get married, that he's ready to be serious, and then I'll allow you to go out with that young man? I don't know, whatever it is that plays out. But dads, you're involved. You need to be involved. It's such an important decision your young people are making. My children are going to start making these decisions. And parents, you need to be praying to the Lord. You need to be directing your children. Such an important decision. One more passage. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse number 14. Proverbs 19 and verse number 14. We'll just end on this one. This is the conclusion. And this will lead us to the next sermon in the series. But Proverbs 19, verse number 14. Proverbs 19, 14 says, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." See, the Lord is also involved in helping you find a spouse. A prudent wife. Prudent means someone that is careful. Careful about making bad decisions. Prudent means that you're concerned about the consequences of a bad decision. Okay? You're thinking about the future. This isn't just going on a date now. You're thinking down the line. What are the consequences? What are the relationships? What are the effects of this union? A prudent wife is of the Lord. And so as we continue going through this series, I want to give young people some really good principles. We really kind of covered some of them. Make sure they're saved. I'm not going to cover that again, because obviously that's going to have an effect in your future. But I want you to start thinking about other issues that you're looking for in another individual. Being prudent, being careful. This is of the Lord, okay? You want your dating life to be successful, that pleases the Lord, then please pay attention to this sermon series and apply as best as you can. And at the same time, I understand that the person that you're going to be interested in is not going to be perfect. They're not going to tick all the boxes. Okay, but when it comes to the most important things, you want to make sure that you're prudent about these things. Okay? And I hope this series can then help you, you know, in your future years to come. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to thank you again for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the institution of marriage. And Lord, for the exciting and fun times that lead up to marriage, Lord, the dating and trying to find that right person, Lord, that we're going to spend the rest of our life with. Lord, we do have a lot of young people in our church, so I just pray you'd give them wisdom. Lord, help them not to be prideful or stiff-necked with the directions that you give us through your word. But Lord, they would be open. Lord, they would be prudent in the decisions they make. Lord, I just pray that they would not rush into a decision, but they would not waste their youth, Lord, as they seek to prepare themselves for a future life with a spouse. And Lord, I just pray for the young people, those that have a desire to get married, that you would help them to make the right decisions, to put themselves out there, Lord, that it would be known that they're seeking to get married, that they'd be relying upon you, Lord, to bring the right person. And so, Lord, we do need your guidance, we do need your direction in such an important part of our lives. So we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, hymn number 305. Hymn number 305. Yield not to temptation. 305. Yield not to temptation.
Yield not to temptation.
shall say.